Welcome, believers. This is Lucha Lowdown. I am your host and El Jefe of this podcast, James Kincaid. With me tonight, as always, El Guapo Jeff Budd.
Yo, buddy, let's do this thing.
Ready to talk some lucha with you, my friend. We are reviewing the episode Left 4 Dead as the Cueto Cup's first round concludes in this episode. Overall thoughts on this one, Jeffy?
Confusion and disarray because my brackets have been devastated for Group D.
Yeah, Group D was a landmine for both of our brackets, and we will get into all of that as we go along tonight. I thought it was a solid but somewhat unremarkable episode overall. There were some things I did really like about it, and one character in particular. I mean, this was, as the title sort of doesn't imply explicitly, but flashing back to the Dante Fox storyline, this was a Dante Fox episode.
I like the episode. I like the Dante Fox flashback. I like another vignette with El Dragon Azteca Jr. An episode that has the likes of Prince Puma, the entire Worldwide Underground showing up, the entire Worldwide Underground,
yeah,
which we have never seen.
Yeah, and besides the trailer for the season. Full form as far as we know, yeah.
Yeah, and, you know, a Rey cameo, El Dragon Azteca Jr. I mean, there's a lot of people in this episode that I enjoy seeing, so
that's
I can't
true.
Say that this was just a run-of-the-mill episode. This was a good one for me, despite the fact that my predictions did not all go according to plan.
Yeah, maybe I'm just bitter about my bracket. We do start off with the Dante Fox vignette that you mentioned. This was one of the highlights of the episode for me, getting it right off the bat. Dante Fox running in the streets of Boyle Heights, having flashbacks to his time in captivity in Afghanistan. I thought this came off very well. We had to see what we saw in the trailer, which was Killshot wrecking those, Taliban members in Afghanistan whilst rescuing Dante.
I was going to say that I thought we had seen that vignette back last season, but just the Killshot perspective. It was talking about how he had, you know, done operations overseas, and it was when he was describing himself as a sniper. I thought it was kind of when the character had reinvented himself, because Killshot in season one, it was a cool sounding name. He had the bullseye on his mask, but I mean, other than that, we didn't know anything about him.
Yeah, that's interesting. So maybe that wasn't in the trailer then?
It wasn't in the trailer. I think we had basically seen him shooting those guys in Wrecking Shop when he was kind of talking about, you know, who he was before he joined or before he entered the temple.
Well, that makes it even
cooler.
And
then this was like an extension of it, of what else was going on. And that it made it sound like he had escaped and just did not take Dante Fox with him.
Well, what I was thinking with this, that makes it even cooler if it's going back from a previous season and now we're getting a different perspective.
Yeah, I love that vignette when we first saw it, because I remember if I was a kid, I would have just assumed that that guy actually was former military.
Yeah.
And was just sniping guys left and right. Lucha Underground would have been amazing for me if this had started a couple decades ago when I was much younger.
Yeah.
And I could have grown with it.
Well, it's still amazing now. So we got that going forward.
I'm still loving it.
Yeah, no,
well, I still have a childlike sense of wonder about me.
I enjoy, and as do I, and I think Lucha Underground brings that out in a lot of people that watch the show. But I already enjoyed this vignette without that perspective, but now that makes it even kind of more cooler that it's giving you a separate viewpoint of it now from Dante Fox as he was left behind. And I thought the quality of it was really well done. I liked, you know, showing him getting beaten on in his cell and everything like that, but he was still looking very tough and sort of defiant within that. And Lucha really, I mean, this was the very grindhouse gritty aspect of Lucha Underground as far as like really going all out with that sort of terrorist like beheading video that obviously didn't happen because Dante Fox escapes, but that was an intense segment and coinciding, I mean, with sort of playing off like, does he have PTSD as he's running through the streets and thinking about all these different things, and is he imagining Killshot on the rooftop there pointing at him with the guns and everything? As I was watching the vignette, it was like, you know, is Dante Fox actually the sneaky babyface in this, actually. It got me questioning. It's like, maybe Killshot really did leave him behind, and maybe Killshot's not such a you know, a good guy, and maybe Dante Fox really was wrong. I mean, where do you come down on what's going on between them?
Well, I mean, I think it's possible that they're both faces. I thought that Killshot probably just didn't know that Dante Fox was there.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I liked this vignette because it fully fleshed out more of Dante Fox's character, and we saw things from his perspective, and we understand why he believes he was left behind by Killshot. I mean, because he was. Whether or not it was done intentionally by Killshot, that's another story. I didn't even think of it as it was intentional. I just thought it was, you know, that's how things are on the battlefield. You know, he didn't know that Dante was there, and he just kind of had to fight to survive on his own and left. I don't see Dante Fox as much of a heel anymore, but I kind of wish these two could just talk rather than always attacking each other. Then maybe we could, you know, figure out this whole misunderstanding.
Well, and the other thing with Dante Fox...
Killshot did seem genuinely happy when he saw Dante Fox for the first time.
Definitely. And the other thing about that, though, is he is being told by the bad guys that Killshot escaped and left him behind. I mean, it's still possible that Killshot did not escape at that moment, maybe escaped later on and everything like that. Who knows? I mean, it is them that are feeding him the information. Maybe there's a part of brainwashing is too strong of a word, but you know what I mean, where his own reality got a little warped by the situation. But I did think it was interesting, and like you said, I like that it's fleshing out Dante Fox, that at least, even if he still is the bad guy or is in the wrong in the situation, at least he has... It's cool that he has solid motivation from his perspective for why. And I think that's interesting. And I've liked Dante Fox since he debuted, and I'm enjoying him more and more. So that was a solid vignette to start us off with. Then we get to our first match of the opening round for Group D. That was Sexy Star taking on PJ Black. I had this as a slam dunk for Sexy Star. It's like, you know, Johnny Mundo had screwed her out of, and the Worldwide Underground had screwed her out of the Lucha Underground Championship. She'll get a small measure of revenge as she moves on to the second round of the Cueto Cup. I mean, Sexy Star is a huge star in Lucha Underground. She's one of the marquee players. I mean, first female champion and all that. So I thought for sure she'd be getting onto the second round, where she would be what I would assume be dispatched by Prince Puma, who I also had winning. You know, so not a very deep run, but certainly get through the first round, given everything that Sexy has accomplished in Lucha Underground. Enter PJ Black, the Darewolf, who I think is really establishing himself behind Mundo and Taya as the sort of, you know, in the elite of the Worldwide Underground in terms of, the direction of their characters and the emphasis being put on them so far in season 3. And
I think of him as their Gambit. You know what I mean? He almost stands off on his own a little bit.
Yeah, that's a good call. That is interesting with that. I like that. But things did not go according to plan in this match. It was a quick match, one of the shorter ones of the Cueto Cup that wasn't just a straight-up squash. And it ended in a disqualification when Tyler got involved and distracted the ref, gave PJ the Nux, failed to use them. Sexy Star inexplicably picked them up and got caught hitting PJ Black with them, which led to the disqualification. I thought when I was watching it, I thought it was Sexy Star was going to be looking at them. PJ would see the ref turning around and would act like she hit him with them, thus drawing the DQ. Like, again, I didn't pick that to happen in the bracket, but as I was watching the match, I was like, oh no, they're going to do that. But she just straight up hit him with them, which was a terrible decision by Sexy Star, which led to the disqualification, and PJ Black moving on. Another miss for both of us, no?
Like I said, this was one of those matches in the first round that I thought could kind of go either way. But to build off of what you said, not only was Sexy Star the first female champion in the temple, there's only been a handful of champions. It's still a very prestigious group.
Oh, yeah,
and
absolutely.
And she's a member of it. So, yeah, to think that she would be eliminated in the first round at the Cueto Cup is almost unthinkable. Not taking anything away from PJ Black, you know?
Yeah, no, the other thing about that is, too, that sort of swayed my decision is PJ Black is in the Worldwide Underground. Johnny Mundo is the leader of the Worldwide Underground and is champion. So, I didn't see this as being, like, the time where PJ Black is going to sort of split off from the Worldwide Underground in a serious pursuit of the championship up to this point. So I was like, well, it doesn't really make much sense. I mean, we already have Taya moving on And, you know, I mean, so it's not going to be a Worldwide Underground versus Worldwide Underground member. So, and it's against this very elite superstar and sexy star. So I, yeah, did not see that one coming. So another blow dealt to our bracket there.
Well, the way we have it predicted is that the winner of this match would then go on to face Prince Puma in the next round. I thought that was a good pick for Sexy Star because then it would continue to push this story of Prince Puma kind of going down a dark path.
Yes, yes.
And Sexy Star would have been one of the first, you know, face victims of Prince Puma.
Puma would have had to fight a woman.
Yeah, not only a woman, but, you know, I mean, like, the woman in the temple.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And definitely a good guy. And then after that, I was expecting him to go against El Dragon Azteca Jr. I mean, the people that were, you know, friends and allies of his in the past. And I wanted Prince Puma to be kind of merciless. And it's like, whoa, what is this? Who is this Puma? But instead now, you know, spoiler alert for the first round, it'll be Prince Puma against two members of the Worldwide Underground back to back, which, I mean, that's really nothing. You know what I mean? It's like that's what I would expect from one of the top faces of the temple.
Yeah.
Is to go against the Mundo's foot soldiers.
I agree with you. You know, looking through this bracket, it seemed like a natural progression as he was weaving down this dark path with Vampiro that it would make sense that he was going to have to do battle with the Technicos and sort of, you know, differentiate himself from them even more and really sell it. So, yeah, that was, I think this to me is the biggest upset so far. Of the Quedo
and then
Cup.
Also, I was going to say, just to touch on the brass knuckles, I was very disappointed that Sexy Star had used them because she is a Technico and also because she's a positive role model for,
yeah.
You know, a lot of female, really not even just female fans, young male fans can, you know, have her as a role model too. I don't like certain wrestlers ever doing something like that. And I was like, that's not really what I would expect from Sexy Star. And then sure enough, the vignette after that featuring Rey Mysterio Jr., I mean, could that guy be any more of a good guy, you know,
yeah.
As far as how he was speaking? I was like, that's what I want from my faces. That's what I want from my technicos.
It was interesting and surprising to see that. And then she attacked the referee afterward. That
What's
was
going on?
It was definitely a turn. And now that you say that, made me think that I know what's going on in, like, her real life is she's unmasked and everything like that. So I don't know if that maybe has any maybe deeper implications than even I thought about at first. I hope
maybe.
Not, because I like Sexy Star, and, you know, they did give her, you know, she is, like you said, part of a very exclusive group that is a former Lucha Underground champion. So we'll see what happens. But, yeah, Sexy Star with a surprising exit in the first round. PJ Black moving on. That took us to, as you said, the Johnny Mundo versus Rey Mysterio promo video of the week, which these have just been awesome. Loving the build-up. This one had some great lines from Mundo in it as far as just, I mean, Mundo dropped like a suck it, Ray. And I think my favorite line from it was chicks dig scars and abs and talking about all the hard work and how his workout never stops. And I loved him sparring with members of the Worldwide Underground. I think he straight up like knocked out Jack Evans at one point.
Maybe that's why Jack isn't in the Quedo Cup.
Yeah, it could be. I just have really enjoyed these. And like you said, seeing the juxtaposition of how Ray is and talking about how the fans fuel him and everything like that and how he wants to be a role model and everything. What did you think of this week's offering with that?
I really like it. You were quoting Mundo. It's like a couple things that I like that Ray had to say was not only talking about the fans, but he addressed all of the great talent in the temple and that he would like to represent them as champion. Mentioned his friend, Prince Puma.
Yes.
And that he would like to bring, you know, some of that, I forget exactly how
he's talking about prestige to the title.
Yeah,
that
he
his
wanted
friend
to bring
Prince Puma
back to the title like his good friend Prince Puma had done as the first champion of the temple. I thought that was a very telling statement, and I like to see what Mysterio's take on Prince Puma is as opposed to vice versa. And with the vignette that we get later, it was a much more strained relationship.
Yes, absolutely. So we do get a vignette that touches on that. And I think at this point, because this package reminded me of something that I talked about with Johnny Mundo in that Q&A that we had up here in San Francisco. For everyone listening out there, Johnny came to our radio station up in San Francisco on behalf of 107.7 The Bone. We had a screening of Boone the Bounty Hunter, which was a lot of fun. Yes, Jeff?
No, I had an amazing time. It was really cool getting to meet him.
Yeah, got to meet him, got to interview him again. And one of the things I brought up with him was the fact that these promo videos sort of remind me of the WrestleMania 12 build to Shawn Michaels versus Bret Hart. Only obviously in those builds, it was two baby faces going at it pretty much, but you know, not so black and white here. But I love just the training from both sides and just sort of showcasing their differences and everything like that. It definitely harkened back to that. So this build has been tremendous. And yeah, I encourage you all to go to 1077thebone.com and click on the Levi's Lounge link, and you can see the full Q&A that Baby Huey and myself did with Johnny Mundo. It was a very successful event. John was stoked. I was stoked. So yeah, hope you enjoy that. And while we're on the subject of plugs, I want to thank all of you believers for listening to this podcast. And I want to thank you for subscribing to us on iTunes and Audioboom, which is one of the most important things you can do to help this podcast, as well as telling your friends. Word of mouth is the way that we get around. We don't pay for advertising, and you guys have been doing a great job. And if you like what you hear, please rate and review us on iTunes. That is a great way to also help just spread the word about Lucha Lowdown. So we thank you for doing that. And follow us on Twitter, @LuchaLowdown. I love live tweeting the episodes with you believers. The interaction is great. It's always a good time. So when I can do it, I always make sure to log on and just watch along with all of you believers. And it's a great time. If you want to email us, luchalowdown@gmail.com. If you have any suggestions, questions, anything you want us to talk about, always happy hearing from you. And yeah, thanks for listening. We appreciate you all. And now let's continue on with the rest of our program here. So from that Johnny Mundo Rey Mysterio promo package, we jump into Son of Havoc versus Son of Madness. Right off the bat, I love how, one, the commentary team sold the mystery opponent, but most of all, how Melissa, how she sold his sort of announcement and just the perplexed look and inflection in her voice when she announced that from the open road, Son of Madness. It just, I love that. That's why Melissa Santos is the best in the business, is that she helps advance storylines just with her ring announcing. I thought that was terrific. What overall thoughts on what we had going on here?
No, I was just going to say, I like that too when Melissa did that, because if I was in Melissa's shoes, I'd be wondering if I was accidentally reading the same card again.
Yeah.
It's almost exactly the same thing until it gets to Madness. The curse of debut matches in the temple continues.
Yeah.
I did not see that happening in the Cueto Cup. Why the buildup with the question marks? Why the buildup with the vignette? What are you doing to us?
I heard your words echoing through my head, and I don't know if they appeared on this podcast or was in a private conversation between the two of us, but it was something to the effect of, can't have a guy debut and turn a mystery opponent debut and lose in the first round. Not going to happen.
I believe that was on the podcast.
And sure enough, but you know, we had the sort of the debate. It was like, well, it's Lucha Underground. Anything can happen in debut matches. And sure enough, it continued.
Well, not anything.
Here.
Always the same thing. They lose. They always lose.
I'm trying to think back. A couple have I think managed to pull out a win, but I'm struggling
but like,
to think of, like, Dr. Wagner Jr.
Fair enough. But I was thinking, one of the ones I was thinking of was PJ Black, the Darewolf. There was
a lot
of buildup for him, and then he lost.
He probably had the most buildup.
Yeah, I was excited to see him, and then boom.
Lost to the Mac.
Yeah, the Mac, exactly.
And at that point in time, it was surprising to see that happen, but it continued on here. So again, I mean, spoiler for the end of our little talk here is that it is Son of Havoc moving on. I thought this was a very good match. And let me just say this, because this is the kind of thing that if this were a video game, I would have been backing out going to the start screen, because we've talked about on our other show, The Best Damn Nerd Show, I would hate when my one friend Adam would, to antagonize me, pick the same wrestler as I would, because I thought it was stupid. the same person could face each other. And
can't
he would
have Shawn Michaels wrestle Shawn Michaels.
It's dumb. And so he would do it to get my goat as sort of as a psych out mind game to mess with me. So mirror matches are not my strong suit. So if I were in Son of Havoc shoes, I would have lost this match, because I would have been wigging out. This is dumb. Can't do this. But Son of Havoc, more mental fortitude than I. He prevails in this mirror match, which I thought was a really good match, by the way. I enjoyed it a lot.
It was a good match, and I thought they sold whatever their grudge is pretty well. I liked how it started outside of the ring, actually. The two of them just started rolling on the stairs. And, yeah, there was definitely this this hatred or aggression towards one another. I also liked, because they mentioned it too, that Son of Madness doesn't land on his back a lot. He kind of just gets knocked back, but is always on his feet. You know, he was almost like unstoppable a few times, which I thought was really cool.
Yeah, it is interesting that Matt Stryker, he deferred to Vampiro for Vamp's knowledge of biker culture and everything like that.
You know Vampiro's done a little bit of everything.
Dude, he's got a lot of streams going there. Just talking about how, like, Son of Madness might be, like, the sergeant of arms for whatever biker club that Son of Havoc's a part of and everything like that. I liked Son of Havoc's reaction when Madness was announced. And just, I agree with you. I thought they sold everything really well. In spite of the fact that I picked Son of Madness to win, I'm kind of happy that Son of Havoc won.
Well, I mean, we're fans of Havoc. We like Son of Havoc. We don't know Son of Madness.
I mean, I had this thought as far as what did Son of Havoc do to warrant, you know, this guy coming after him? My head immediately went to this. So he was in the biker club. He met Ivalice, and for whatever reason felt the need to run off from the biker club with her because, you know, he fell for Ivalice and everything like that. Maybe he's been on the run ever since, and it led him to Lucha Underground. That's where my mind went. It's like the Hero music video with Enrique Iglesias and Jennifer Love Hewitt kind of scenario. And now the bill comes due for, Son of Havoc to get it from his old biker club. I don't know. But that's where my romantic...
I was thinking more of like Cowboy Bebop, and he was like Spike, and he left with Julia.
Or that, too. Yeah, exactly. But that kind of scenario is what entered my mind.
Same story, though. Yeah.
I hope Ivalice is somehow tied into this. I know she's hurt, and she's got beef with Katrina. But, man, I really want to get them back together, and this would be a perfect opportunity.
We won't let go of that ship.
No, we will not. It's perfect.
They
belong
together.
And maybe that's why he took the breakup so hard. You know, I mean, dude, he gave up everything that was part of his...
Turn my back on everything for you.
Exactly. You know? Could be.
Just gonna decide.
Out of the blue. So I don't know. I don't know what his transgression was, but I'm interested to find out. As far as
I want to see more with this story. It'll be exciting.
Yeah. So it is Son of Havoc moving on. I assume Madness will probably screw him out of his second round match somehow. But, you know, at this point, all bets are off with the way our bracket's looking. So that's two matches tonight in Group D. Two matches in Group D. And we're 0-2 right now. So we're in need of a lift here. And that comes in the form of Prince Puma versus Worldwide Underground intern Ricky Mandel. What do you think about the Worldwide Underground's internship program, Jeff?
I would have killed for this back in college.
Same.
Speaking as a former intern, I think both of us have done our internships when we were younger. It's
yes.
Like, this is what I would have wanted. This I would have preferred to my gig in Santa Monica.
No doubt about it. It's funny that, like, he doesn't have full status yet, which I think we speculated that he was, heading towards that. And that apparently that if he, the commentator, Stryker said that if he beats Prince Puma, he will graduate to, what was it, assistant or something like that? Associate?
It was something like that, yeah. Well, I like it because, like an internship, he kind of had to start doing a couple things and, you know, kind of get into the swing of it. He had to practice his mic skills. He had to talk some trash to Prince Puma, and then he had to have his match against Prince Puma. You know, it sounds like it's a pretty comprehensive internship to me. They're making sure that he's doing all the things. He's not just a gopher, you know?
Yeah.
So I appreciate that. I don't know if you should have an intern go against Prince Puma in the first round at the Cueto Cup.
Well,
but then at the same time, that's out of Mundo's hands.
Exactly.
That's Dario Cueto. Yeah.
I have a couple interns right now. One of them really stinks. So I feel for Mundo. The fact that he ended up with Mandel. I wonder if he's just going to be discarded after this season. It got me thinking that he's just going to be used up. I don't know.
Yeah, first year is an internship. If he does a good job and demonstrates value, maybe there's an open position and he'll get hired.
It's possible.
That's kind of up to Ricky, though, too.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Ricky decided to cut a promo at the start of this match, too.
Well, that's part of it. I mean, I'm sure it was a part of his graduate program. They got to make sure that he cuts a certain amount of promos, and Johnny will coach him through them. Because Johnny cuts a killer promo.
He said that he was going to take Puma to Slamtown, and Puma was not buying it. Puma squashes him here. But even in the squash, I thought Ricky Mandel got in too much. I don't know.
You know what, though? At the same time, you don't want to make it where Ricky is just a completely useless character. You know, I mean, and I did kind of like the idea of if he is such a Johnny Mundo-obsessed fan, who did Johnny face off against so many times in the first season other than Prince Puma?
Yeah.
And so if he's Mundo Light, it made sense with basically how he went against Puma. I thought it was kind of fine. It's funny, Puma, even with that full mask, I thought emoted very well with how he reacted to Ricky Mandel.
I think one of my favorite moments from the match actually is Ricky Mandel like super kicks him, and Puma just almost shrugs it off and has to adjust his mask and just sort of like shaking his head and then kills Mandel.
Yeah, see, I think that I thought that was good. Ricky was on the offense, but at the same time, it's not going to have that kind of effect against someone like Prince Puma.
Yeah. Well, and a new finish.
And then he shot him down.
A new finish for heel Prince Puma, it seems. That, you know,
Puma Dark.
Yeah, Puma Dark. Like a spinning inverted pile driver, similar to the Phoenix driver a little bit. And I wonder if that's a because, I mean, Matt Stryker mentioned on commentary that usually he goes for the 630, did not this time. So I wonder if that's just another way of selling, you know, he's not going to be doing this stuff for the fans, you know, the high-flying moves. Yeah, exactly. So I thought that was another interesting layer to Puma Dark and what we got going on. So we're on the board. We're 1-for-2, or 1-for-3, rather.
We're 1-for-3.
Yeah. 1-for-3 in the opening round.
Group D's rough.
Group D has been, again, a killing field for our bracket. It is Iwo Jima. It's whatever. We're getting gunned down here.
I mean, we have the triumphant return of El Dragon Azteca Jr.
Exactly. What could possibly go wrong as we move on in this episode of Lucha Underground, Left for Dead? We get a cool vignette of Rey Mysterio talking with El Dragon Azteca, and you know how he's coming to, you know, root him on in the tournament and everything like that. And Azteca's talking about how, you know, he wants to win so he can face Rey, you know, out of respect kind of deal. And then we get the wet blanket Puma Dark.
I like
showing up.
The music, and then the Puma entrance.
Really, putting a damper on the whole thing is Puma here.
Destroys the sportsmanship that we were accumulating in the locker room.
Really hurt the mood talking about how Rey better win because he wants his Ultima Lucha rematch, and this time he's not going to lose. What did you think of this vignette?
I loved it because I like the juxtaposition between what Rey's relationship is with El Dragon Azteca Jr. versus what it is with Prince Puma. Remember that they were a former trios team. They're both bright young stars that Rey has kind of taken under his wing. Like I had said earlier in this episode, Rey had referred to Prince Puma as a good friend of his.
Yep.
Puma does not appear to reciprocate that friendship.
Not right now.
I also liked what Azteca had to say to Rey, just that respect. And, you know, he wanted Rey to just kind of be away in training so that he could prepare for Mundo's match, but he was still happy that Rey was there for him. And then, yeah, he wants to face him after he wins the tournament just out of respect. No, not to, like, prove himself against Rey or anything like that, or to show that he's the better luchador, more just to get a chance for the two of them to face each other in a very sportsmanlike contest.
Yeah.
And then to see Puma, you know, Puma with his hood, his dark mask, and just his
dark
attitude. Yeah, it's a very different Prince Puma than the one the two of them had once allied themselves with. And then also Puma just referencing his match against Rey at Ultima Lucha, which I thought was great because there still was that bad blood between the two of them.
Yeah, no, this is getting good. And it, with what happens in Azteca's match is also very interesting, just in terms of Rey, that he has a lot of irons in the fire in terms of maybe his mentorship program not going so great. So that takes us to
But it kind of breaks my heart, because what I also like was then after Puma storms out and the two of them are looking at him, you know, Rey looks at El Dragon Azteca Jr. and he goes, just one match at a time. That's why it would have been excellent for Puma and El Dragon Azteca Jr. to face each other to see who wins Group D.
Yeah, so that takes us to the main event of this episode, which is Dante Fox versus El Dragon Azteca. And my one of the things I just have written down is just in watching this match, it's like, I really like Dante Fox. I like his moveset. I like his look.
His look is great.
I think he's very cool. And Matt Stryker pretty much echoes as much, as that he just like sort of picks a guy, you know, and he is sort of putting his money on Dante Fox. Now, obviously, you know, whatever. Commentaries do that in tournaments all the time. But I think what Matt Stryker is really saying is that this guy is a – it's sort of signifying that Dante Fox is a guy on the rise in Lucha Underground.
He's a guy to keep an eye on.
Yeah,
sure.
And I really believe that. The other thing that I was thinking about this – as I was watching this match and everything going on with El Dragon Azteca, and we talked about Phoenix, we talked about Puma and everything, and how Rey is still around, I was like, man, the future is so bright in regards to the amount of people that Lucha has that could really carry that traditional babyface flag and everything like that. Like, I love Phoenix. I like how El Dragon Azteca is being groomed both by Rey, and also just the cool storyline, the lineage of that mask and everything dating back, like, with the lore of Lucha Underground. It's just all so very cool, and I'm really hoping that Lucha gets the chance to grow with that, and, you know, 4 or 5 years, you know, down the line, we're still watching, we're still talking about Lucha Underground and seeing how much this character has progressed even further, you know, hopefully a champion at that point and stuff like that. So I just... That was one thing, for whatever reason, what I was sort of ruminating on as I was watching Dante Fox and Azteca battle here. What did you think of the match?
Well, one thing I was kind of thinking of while watching this match is what I like about the Cueto Cup is seeing some matchups that we wouldn't normally see.
Yeah.
Because I thought El Dragon Azteca Jr. and Dante Fox matched up very well as far as their movesets.
Mm-hmm.
And then kind of the way they both approach a match. They're both very fast. And Dante Fox is also just very strong. So I enjoyed seeing the two of them face off against one another. But I think you're right. These are two guys that you definitely need to keep your eye on. And that's why I'm glad both of them were featured in vignettes this episode as well, as opposed to just this main event match.
Yeah, no, completely agree. Very good point. They do match up really well. This match, while being very solid in the ring, also served to further, because Rey Mysterio was in Azteca's corner, it served to further the storyline of Mysterio versus Mundo, as all of the Worldwide Underground, as you stated, showed up with just a brutal gang beatdown of Rey as the match was going on, including a Jack Evans with the sort of like old school like toothache bandana wrapped around his head, which I guess they're selling a jaw injury in storyline, I think is what it was, and that was hilarious. But yeah, what did you think of the Worldwide Underground getting involved?
I was very happy to see that Jack was there, so the entire team was there to support Mundo. Also, what I thought was great was Taya was the first one to come out, and I was like, Taya's interfering in this match, too? It's just Taya being a bitch all night.
Well,
I didn't realize anybody else was with her at first. I was like, Taya, what are you doing?
No, the gang was all there. And
yeah, they were there, they were enforced, and it made perfect sense. Rey's
totally
out and exposed. Let's take advantage of this and, you know, basically stack the chips in a Mundo's favor.
That led to Azteca making the save of his mentor Rey, which was great. I mean, he did a great dive on all Worldwide Underground, but that inadvertently led to Dante Fox getting the drop on him, figuratively and literally, as he got him in the Foxcatcher and pulled out the win. He's moving on. Azteca is eliminated because of that interference and because of his desire to help Rey. And that sort of piggybacks back to that vignette where Azteca was like, you know, why aren't you off training for Mundo? And is this going to lead to some of that resentment towards Rey?
That Anakin angst?
Yes, because
Dragon Azteca Jr. sometimes has.
Yeah, because now Azteca's out of the tournament. A shot at Ultima Lucha Trace, gone, you know, for the title. So
for the title, yeah.
Yeah, where do you see, I mean, how do you see this all going down then? What was your reaction to that?
I was very upset that had happened, just because I really would have liked to have seen Mysterio's two pupils go against each other. I'm hoping El Dragon Azteca Jr. doesn't take it too much out on Rey. I hope instead he basically focuses the blame on the Worldwide Underground and is there to support Rey. I think because of the way Prince Puma's acting, El Dragon Azteca Jr. can't have as much hostility towards Rey in a storyline. I don't see everybody turning on Rey. And it seems like Prince Puma is the former pupil, or at least someone that he had shown an interest in, who's going to be turning against him.
Yeah.
One other thing that I liked in this match was basically Vampiro's take on Mysterio. Definitely not that, like, respect anymore. There is a hostility there.
Yeah.
And he was like, what's Mysterio doing here?
Similar
he
to Conan.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I was thinking, because it's two guys playing tug of war over Prince Puma again.
Mm-hmm.
Do not get in the way of Vampiro wanting Prince Puma, basically.
Yeah, no, he's coveted possession. And so, I mean, so Ray gets the beat down, Worldwide Underground, pretty much standing tall at the end with Mundo with the Welcome to Slamtown, Ray, right in the camera shot. That was great. But yeah, Azteca's gone. We did not get what I expected, maybe Killshot getting involved in this match somehow, but.
But see, I like that too, because it shows that maybe Killshot, it definitely is not the secret heel or whatever in this match. She's not there to interfere with Dante Fox's performance. Although he may have to in the next round. He should still be bitter because of what had happened. He had a great match against Jeremiah Crane before Dante Fox showed up.
Yes, yes, he did. All right, so that made it, that on the night put us at 1-4, Jeff, in Group D's opening round.
Ain't gonna happen again.
It can't.
All of this is a moot point. Prince Puma takes Group D. I don't care.
Well, let's go over our brackets before we get out of here tonight.
Sure, buddy.
So in Group A, we were perfect. We had Drago, Pentagon, Mac, and Tejana all moving on. So in round two of Group A, it's going to be Drago versus Pentagon Dark, the Mac versus Tejano. In those matches, I have Pentagon moving over Drago and Tejano moving on over the Mac.
And I agree with both of those picks. Okay. I also have Pentagon and Tejano being triumphant.
In Group B, I believe we were also perfect there.
Also perfect.
We had Cage defeating Vinny Massaro. We had Pindar defeating Mascarilla Sagrada, Marty the Moth defeating Saltador, and Phoenix defeating Mariposa. In those Group B second round matchups, I assume we both have Cage and Phoenix moving on, correct?
Correct.
Okay. And then moving on to Group C, which is where we both had our first hiccups. I had Vibra moving on over Paul London, which did not come to pass. You had the same, so we were both missed there. Mil Muertes absolutely squashed Veneno, so we both had that.
Like the spider he is.
Indeed. And then we both had Jeremiah Crane defeating Killshot. Where we broke rank is I had Taya moving on over Joey Ryan. You had Joey Ryan. That was your second misstep as Taya is moving on.
Yes.
So in these second round matchups, I had Vibra versus Mil Muertes, which is, of course, not happening. But I still have Mil Muertes moving on, as did you. And then in the other bracket of Group C, Crane versus Taya, I have Crane moving on. Who did you have?
And I had Crane over Ryan, so we both agree still on who will be moving forward in Group C. We think it's going to be Mil Muertes and Jeremiah Crane facing off to see who wins that group.
And then in Group D, which is an absolute horror show for both of us. Just,
it's a massacre.
It is just shot to absolute crap. As we said, we had Sexy Star moving on over PJ Black. That didn't happen. We did have Puma moving on and moving on over whoever won between Sexy Star and PJ Black. And then we had El Dragon Azteca moving on with Dante Fox. We just discussed that didn't happen. And Son of Madness. So we have neither guy in the second bracket of the second round of Group D. So we have no dog in that fight, essentially. But what we do have is Puma moving on, whoever wins that side of the bracket anyway.
Yes.
Okay. So not as good of a first round, I'm going to be totally honest, as I anticipated. I remember, again, I was devastated that I missed the Vibra and Paul London pick, thinking, oh, man, my first round's not going to be perfect now. And then Group D happened, and it's like, yeah, really not perfect. So we'll see where it goes from there. I wonder if there are any more surprises left in store in the Cueto Cup. But
I'll tell you, though, I'm kind of excited because I like Paul London and I like PJ Black. So I'm glad they both got to move forward.
Yeah, no, I agree. And I like being surprised. I think that's one of the things that makes Lucha Underground such a great wrestling show, too, is that I still can be surprised. Like I've said before, I bite on near falls in Lucha Underground because they're willing to do anything. They're willing to support, it seems like, any wrestler in the temple. You know, they're going to give guys their time to shine and it's going to. You know, they're really good at elevating people and making it all believable. So this was a lot of fun. I think the opening round of the Cueto Cup has been a success. It's been a lot of fun. I've discussed ad nauseum now how much I love tournaments, especially in professional wrestling. So I am ready to jump into the second round, and I am very much so looking forward to what we're gonna get and more surprises, more upsets, perhaps. And we'll see who gets it all right here at the end. I want to encourage you one last time to check out that Q&A that I did with Baby Huey of 107.7 The Bone with Johnny Mundo in the Levi's Lounge here at the radio station in San Francisco. It was a lot of fun. It was a great event. And so just go ahead and give that a click. Let us know what you think. We tweeted it out. It's on 107.7thebone.com. Click on the Levi's Lounge link. That's 107.7thebone.com. And, yeah, check that out because I'm really proud about how that event all came together. And it was a great time screening Boone the Bounty Hunter with Johnny. And the lovely Taya was in attendance, his family. It was a really, really cool event. And then we got to see Johnny perform at All Pro Wrestling the next night. So it's always a thrill getting to do that. So check that out. But with that, that is going to do it for us tonight here at Lucha Lowdown. For Jeff Budd, I'm James Kincaid. Good night, everybody.